Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and even foes in the family, and to the standing between the living and the dead, service, family members. Beloved, this is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, with the Scripture and the Sense podcast, number 898, where I read the Word of God and give the sense of it based on an authoritative commentary source, such as the Bible Knowledge Commentary from Dallas Theological Seminary, Dr. Walvoord and Dr. Zuck, and the Matthew Henry Commentary. Or some reputable study Bible, or another commentary. But most of all, we depend upon prayer and the Holy Spirit of God. And God has given us the faith to believe that people like Dr. Walvoord and Dr. Zuck are not up there in their study playing. They have a gift to the church as well. Please understand that everybody has their gift from God, and we are to play off of those gifts. We all need to stop trying to be everything to the church, and because we're not. I disagree with many pastors, as you know, about how they have done things, and in my role as God has called me and gifted me. But I thank God for pastors and their role. I thank God for my pastors, and they have a unique gift. Teachers have a unique gift. Prophets, evangelists have a unique gift, and we're supposed to play off of one another and work together. It may not always be pretty, but it's good. Beloved, this podcast is based upon Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8, where it says, Ezra and the Levites read in the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. The aim, therefore, of this podcast, my beloved, is that through the simple reading of the Word of God and the giving of the sense of it, it is my prayer that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ would be revived, and that the world would be awakened and saved from the wrath of God to come, and it will come. And the only reason why it has not come is because he's waiting on you to get saved. He's waiting on you to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ so that you can be saved from the eternal burning hell. That Jesus Christ preached on more than anybody in the Bible. That's right, Jesus Christ, the loving one, the one who fed thousands of hungry people, the one who healed the sick, the one who walked on the water like we walk on carpet, the one who raised the dead, a very loving man, of course, but he was a hellfire and brimstone preacher. He preached more, he preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible, and he preached more on hell than he did about heaven. And he said, the most wonderful, most powerful, most loving, and most important words ever said in the history of the world to mankind, recorded in John 3:16. Jesus Christ said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that means should not perish in the eternal burning hell, "but have everlasting life." I want you to notice what Jesus Christ said in this verse, in this powerful, most powerful, most important statement to humankind. And Jesus Christ told the history of salvation in this short verse, where this salvation came from. It came from the heart of God Almighty. "For God so loved the world." Now that's some love for you. "While we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ died for us." While we were in sin, as we are in sin today, Jesus Christ has already died and paid for our sins. Now that's love for you. The truth of the matter is, we don't have that kind of love in our hearts as sinful human beings. And it's hard, watch this. One of the reasons why it's hard for us to accept God's love is because this is totally foreign to us. To have the kind of unconditional love for your creation, that while they are in sin and sinning against God, God the Son dies for our sin. Now, my friend, that's love for you. You will never experience a love like this. I to this day, it amazes me, the love of God. One of my favorite hymns is "The Love of God." I first heard that hymn down in Jamaica land. A beautiful young lady was singing that song in a church that I was preaching in. And I was single at the time, that's why I remember the beautiful young lady. But more importantly, I remember that song, "The Love of God." When she sung that verse, it broke my heart in a good way. The tears began to flow. When she sung that verse, that goes something like, "If the ocean was ink, we could not begin to tell and explain the love of God. For God so loved the world." God loves us more than we love ourselves. And that's a fact. And that means that God loves you. No matter what you have done. That's right. If you murdered somebody, God loves you. I don't know how he does it, but he does. If you committed adultery, God loves you. This does not mean you ought to continue in adultery. You ought to trust Christ as Savior and remember that Jesus Christ, the God-man, the Son of God, because if he's the Son of God, that means he's God. The Pharisees and the Sadducees understood that. That's why they hated him. That's why they crucified him. Because to them he was blaspheming, because every time he said, "I am the Son of God," that meant to them that you think you're God. You're God. You're saying that you're God. They understood that. But Jesus was telling the truth. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. Another name for Jesus Christ in the Bible is Emmanuel. Means God with us. What? God visited us. God walked on this earth, lived a holy, perfect, godly life. Never sinned in word, thought, or deed. And then voluntarily, like a humble lamb, gave himself up to the slaughter to suffer and to bleed and to die like no other man in history. He was buried. And he rose from the dead by the power of God. Always, you got to always include that, because when he died, that was not the end. When they buried him, that was not the end. But he rose. He got up from the grave early one Sunday morning for you and for me. Victorious over sin and the grave and the devil. Took the keys and said, "It is finished." And all we have to do is believe on him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave up his only begotten Son. Would you give up your only begotten child? Would you give up one of your children? If you had 10 children, would you give them up? No, you wouldn't. But God did for you and me. And this is real. This is not made up. This is not fiction. This is non-fiction. Don't you ever forget it. This is not a myth. You're not reading Greek mythology here and other such foolishness. This is real. This is the real deal. This is the really real, as some psychologists call it. This is the really real. His only begotten Son, that whosoever, there's that word, one of the greatest words you'll ever hear. Whosoever means anybody at any time. Red, yellow, black, or white, we're all precious in God's sight, no matter how mean people are. God still loves us, and he's saying to each and every one of us, no matter what we have done, no matter what we have done, we can come to him. And the Bible says he will in no way cast you out. That whosoever believeth, that word believeth means to have faith in, to trust in, to depend upon. Whosoever believeth in who? In him. In the church? No. In him. In your baptismal certificate? No. In Jesus. In your good works? No. Many people are in hell today because they thought they're good works. But Lord, I did this. But Lord, I did this. And the Lord had to tell people. The Lord is going to tell people in the future, "I never knew you, you workers of iniquity." Even your good works were wicked. That can't save you. Believeth in him, Jesus Christ. He did the work, the greatest work in the history of the world. Nobody can top it. Nobody. No preacher, no president, no king, no potentate can top what Jesus Christ did. Everybody's got to bow to him. He is the King of Kings and Lord of lords. And don't you ever forget that. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That means they will not go to hell, even though we all deserve to go to hell. Jesus Christ went through hell and went to hell for you and me, so that we can go free. Oh, that's love for you, my friend. I don't know what else to tell you to convince you to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But just know, as Jesus Christ said, the reason why you won't come to him is because you love darkness more than you love light. You know that you're going to go back and look at your pornography for about 4 or 5 hours today. You know that you're going to shack up with somebody and get back in the bed with them, and you know you're not married. You know that you're going to go back to your homosexual friend or your lesbian friend. You know that you're going to go through with your transvestite process. You know that you are living a lie, for you have told lies, and you've told so many lies you believe them yourself. You're lying to your father, you're lying to your mother, you're lying to your siblings. You're living a hypocritical and hellacious life. You think you have God food, you think you have people food, but you don't. You're going to continue to embezzle thousands of dollars from your own company, from your business that you work for, your job. You're going to continue to hoodwink people, hate people. You relish in being a racist. Black or white, red or yellow. You love it. You love trying to hurt people. You love disrespecting people and being rebellious towards the people over you. You just love it. You don't get anywhere with it, but you love it. You think you're doing something. You think you're even doing God's service when you're serving the devil. That's why you won't come, because you love your sin. See, we are sin factories. The Bible says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We produce sin. One time I had to go for a doctor's appointment because they wanted to check and make sure that I did not have what they call cancer on the inside, common cancer that everybody has to get checked for, especially men my age. They had to put a pipe, a tube up inside me before the nurses. It's a nerve-wracking type examination, because you're supposed to fast for at least 10 days, something along those lines. Well, in fasting, you know, fasting was not a big problem for me, because God had caused me and led me to fast multiple times, 40 times, 40 days at a time in the past, until he stopped me from doing so. And so it was not hard for me to do this fast. I knew how to do it. I knew how to get my body completely cleansed, because it's one of those examinations. If you didn't follow instructions, it could be a pretty messy, stinky situation. What do they call that cancer? What do they call that cancer that they have to check for? What is it? What is it? Yeah, colon cancer is what they're checking for. So they have a pipe with a light to check and see if you have colon cancer. You know what I'm talking about. That's not a comfortable situation to even think about or talk about. And I told the lady, I assured the lady that I followed my instructions and I went above board. I mean, I went above and beyond and made sure that I'm completely clean. And she told me, she said, Mr. White, the body produces its own bile. I never heard that before. So we hear you say that, but we're going to see here in a minute. Did you do what you said you were going to do? And they were just as queasy about it as I was. But she told me that the body produces its own bile, no matter if you fast or not, like we tell you. And what I mean by them being queasy, you know, they don't want to see anything bad, if you know what I'm talking about, with that light going up your colon. They don't want to see anything nasty. But they knew from past experience that the body produces its own bile. It just so happens that I had gone above and beyond and everything was pristine and clean. They saw and I saw nothing but pure pink. Because they let you see it. They let you see what's going on. I do believe what the nurse told me. But it wasn't that way in my case. But my point is, we are sin factories as human beings. The Bible talks about how that we are sinful. We have a sin nature. And so that's why we produce our own bile. We're constantly producing nastiness and wickedness and hatred and bitterness, oftentimes for no reason. Just the other day, a man working as a DoorDash person, using a bike to deliver food, sat down on a bench in New York to just take a break. And a man just sat down beside him, stabbed him in the face first, and then stabbed him in the chest area. And I believe he killed him. And for what? To take his bike, which really was not his. We produce sin. We make up sin. Don't you marvel sometimes when you hear the news how people come up with stuff? A beautiful woman who is interested in a certain man convinces him, like Jezebel and other Lady Macbeth and all other evil women, to kill the child. It's me or the child. Beautiful young boy. Unfortunately, we have wicked hearts that produces sin. And we choose to sin. That's why God will hold us accountable. God gave us the privilege to live, and we chose to do evil with that life. And so therefore, we die. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. We die. That's right, our bodies drop dead. But our soul, the real you on the inside, and nobody knows the real you like God does in you. You even catch yourself sometimes talking to yourself. Someone said the other day that sometimes I talk to myself and then we both break out laughing sometimes. You know your body is not the real you. That's just the house you live in. You can hear me right now. You can hear the invisible me with these invisible words. You can't see them, but you can hear them. That's the real me on the inside living in this house that is speaking to you. And your body will go to a grave one day, but your soul will go straight to hell with the rich man who the Bible says he lifted up his eyes in torments. You said, the rich man, I'm rich. Rich people are going to hell too? Yes. Many rich people are in hell right now. Red, yellow, black, and white. If Bezos does not get saved, he's going to hell. If Elon does not get saved, he's going to hell. They're trying very hard to go to heaven with all these rockets. But they will never reach heaven that way. They think that if they eat right and live right and fast right, they're going to stay alive forever, and that's not the case. For the Bible says, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Never forget that. And so, I say with King Solomon, who pretty much kind of calmly said, I don't want to say nonchalantly, but he didn't really press it like I'm pressing it, and that is, he said that, you know, you can do what you want, basically. You have a free will. But just understand that you will be brought into judgment one day by God Almighty. For the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Obey God. That's what you better do. And if you don't, and if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, you will die and go to hell. I've already talked with you about that. And hell is a very serious place. A very real place, a very sad place, a bad place, and bad news. So, thirdly, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 18:8, wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. Hell is a very real place. Hell is a very sad place, and hell is bad news. But I have some good news for you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou you shall be saved. For Romans 10:9-13 says, and these are the verses that convinced me to get saved some 41 years ago. I can still see them in my mind's eye. It has never left me as old as I am now. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Get saved today, dear friend. Don't love the darkness more than you love the light of the world, Jesus Christ. Don't love your sin. Is it really satisfying? I guarantee you, you will never be satisfied You will never be truly happy. You will never be truly joyful. You will never enjoy your life in a real sense unless you get born again and you trust Christ as Savior. I guarantee you that. I don't care how much money you make. I don't care what kind of house you live in or what kind of car you drive or what kind of suit you can buy or what kind of credit cards you have. You will never be truly happy without Jesus Christ. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, Jesus said, and all of these other things will be added unto you. Put me first. Love me back. Obey me. And you can have it all. And enjoy it all. That's the blessing part. There are people who have money and cars and land and prestige and fame, but they're not happy. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou, you, shall be saved. If you want to get saved today, you're ready to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he lived a holy and perfect life, never sinned. He voluntarily chose to suffer, bleed, and die for your sins and mine. He was buried and rose on the third day by the power of God. If you're willing to believe that and believe in him, pray with me the sinner's prayer. Call on his name as we just read, and he will save you. If he could save me, if Jesus can save me, he can save you. That's a fact. So follow me in prayer, phrase by phrase, mean it from your heart. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I admit to you that I am a sinner, as I have done some bad things in your sight, such as lying, stealing, lusting after people and things, dishonoring and disobeying my parents, dishonoring you by taking your name in vain, and many other sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. And please forgive me of all of my sins. And save my soul. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and save my soul and save my soul today, as I believe in you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to truly repent of all of my sins and to follow you in the new life, Lord Jesus. For it is in your name I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross long ago, was buried and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and it was your choice. God will not make you get saved. I can't make you get saved, so it's your choice. God may help you, guide you, and he has you here today. This is one of the things I tell preachers. You don't worry about gathering an audience up. That's God's business. You just preach. And he will get to the preacher who's going to preach the gospel, the people who need to hear the gospel. And so, dear friends, you've done the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, and receiving him into your heart as your Lord and Savior. It is the greatest thing that anybody can do in life. Always great to get a college degree, is great to travel the world, is great to buy your first house and all of that, but nothing compares. Nothing compares to knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. For Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. And so, beloved, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior today, please email us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know so that we can rejoice with you. Many have come this way before and have gotten saved and have read that book and have gotten material from us, and you can too. We have some free material that we want to send you that will help you to grow in the faith and be the Christian that God wants you to be. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. This is all about rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Colin Powell, a man who had a great life, seemingly. He died yesterday. And you're going to die. We all are going to die. And so we need to be ready. I hope that he was ready. I think he was. But if you have family members and friends who are not ready, you just got saved, you need to tell them the good news. Invite them to come to this service, 8 o'clock every morning, around 8 o'clock every morning, Central Time. Bring others. Be like Andrew, who brought folks to Jesus Christ. Now, dear friends, we're going to continue in the Standing Between the Living and the Dead service, already in progress, if you will. Today, we are reading Zechariah chapter 11, verses 15 and 16. In the podcast that we do, the scripture and the sense. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. And we pray that you'll grant us your energy, your grace and your strength, your unction and your anointing, and the power of your Holy Spirit to read your holy word and to understand your holy word at this time and throughout this day. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. And the Lord said unto me, take unto thee yet the instruments of a foolish shepherd. By the way, only the word of God can come up with stuff like this. This is beyond what man can do. For lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land, which shall not visit those that be cut off, neither shall seek the young one, nor heal that is broken, nor feed that standeth still. But he shall eat the flesh of the fat and and tear their claws in pieces. Now, you need God to help you to understand that. You need the Holy Ghost to help you to understand that. And that's deeper than what our feeble human minds can go. So with the help of the Lord, the help of the Holy Spirit, the help of the scholars and teachers who have the gift of teaching, I say to you, I just read in your hearing, Zechariah chapter 11, verses 15 and 16. Now here is the sense of it. Here is the understanding of it. With the help of Dr. Matthew Henry first, and then we will get some other help and light next time. God, having showed the misery of this people in their being justly left by the Good Shepherd, shows their further misery in being abused by foolish shepherds. And sad to say, we have many foolish acting shepherds in the church today. The description suits the character Christ gives of the scribes and Pharisees. They never do anything to support the weak or comfort the feeble-minded or help with the youth ministry, but seek their own ease, their own comfort, while they are barbarous to the flock. The idle shepherd has the garb and appearance of a shepherd, receives submission and respect, and is supported at much expense by the sheep. But he leaves the flock to perish through neglect, or leads them to ruin by the example, by his example. And this is so fitting for today, and this is what's wrong with the church, and this is why God has shut down the church for going on 2 years. You can try to go if you want to, it's still shut down. You go in fear, that means it's still shut down. As far as the building is concerned, not the church itself. Because the church does not need a building. This suits many in different churches and nations. But the warning had an awful fulfillment in the Jewish teachers. And while such deceive others to their ruin, they will themselves have the deepest condemnation. And that is so true and so sad. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. And thank you, Lord, for giving us the deep understanding of it today. Help us to walk in it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen.
You're in this place. Please let me see.